You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 15th of May. The lottery was wild. What impact does it have on the Utah Jazz? A look at the conference finals matchups, the point guard shuffle, and some salary cap rules around Derek Favors. Oh, that makes it exciting. It is Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, lots of geeky numbers, hopefully some insightful stuff that makes it more fun to be a Jazz fan and keep you entwined in the offseason, because there is no offseason on Locked On Jazz. Hope you're great. I have a philosophy. Oh, this podcast, by the way, is available on Himalaya, the brand new app. Hope you've downloaded it and tried it out. They've got great stuff out there. Also available for you on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Jazz. So one of my life philosophies is a little bit from being around NBA players is, you know, you've got to do something to be better every day. Sometimes those things are obvious, and sometimes I don't think they are. But I always ask our young broadcast assistants who work with us, that incredible crew, you know, I'll meet with them, and I'm pretty terrible. When the season comes to an end, I just kind of go away. I probably should interact with them. I don't. I'm kind of saying this out loud to make me do it because I feel bad about it. But I usually actually meet with them again in kind of August or September, having let them digest the season for a while and kind of move on and then see how they feel. And then the question I always ask them is, so what did you do every day to push your broadcasting career along? And they are now, some of them are used to it, but the younger ones are like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, Ricky Rubio worked on his shot and Donovan worked on his handle and Royce worked on, like, you're trying to make it into the league. The guys in the league are lifting or working or doing something every day to be better. So what are you doing? What did you do? And so the reason I'm telling this story is because I then now try to take the same philosophy. So one of the things I did, I felt I wasn't as good at this year, was keeping track of kind of all the stories and articles and things that were going on around the league. And so I built I've built two brand new Twitter lists. They're public. You're welcome to grab them. One is the NBA 55. It was the NBA 50. It's now for the 55. And it's the 55 accounts that you probably need to follow. And then the other is just this massive NBA list that I've actually had for a long time that I'm kind of keep working with. And it's probably got 350 members, maybe, well, really more, because it's got the Locked On NBA net feed in it. And you can follow that. And I'm trying to keep up with that. Like, that's the concept. The concept is that if I, particularly the NBA 55, that you read it at 10 o'clock at night, you go to bed, you wake up, you catch up with the rest of it and get all the news and notes and then move forward and then know what's going on better. Some of it, frankly, for me is a little complicated because I feel like I create a lot of my own content and shouldn't just be reading everybody else's. But nonetheless, I've been doing that. There's so much stuff out there that, like, I'm committed. Like, I have more stuff for every show than anything we could actually, like, it's crazy. Like, I have so much stuff today, and it's all on that. And I keep saying, like, we're going to do the Joe Ingles season breakdown, and we're not going to get to it again today. I actually think that Joe Ingles is becoming, like, my Matt Damon of Jimmy Kimmel show. Like, that we're actually never going to get to it. No, we'll try tomorrow, though that's a live show. So we'll see. But anyway, I just thought it was kind of funny. So anyway, those are available. Those were my act the last few days on how I was going to get better. And so that's available for you. And check those out. While we're at it, Locked On NBA today should be incredible, because Jake Madison, who is the host of Locked On NBA today, is also the host of Locked On Pelicans. So make sure you go check that out. And frankly, with what happened with the lottery, this is where the network gets pretty fun. Like, the Knicks show is pretty incredible today, as is, you know, the Pelican show, as is a lot of other things. So go check all those out. on the Locked On NBA. And if you want to do those Twitter lists, you can, and you can follow the NBA 55, or you can follow the whole kit and caboodle if you want to. All right, let's get to what happened last night. It's interesting, right? Only one of the top six teams ended up in the top four. The NBA wanted to get rid of tanking. They showed that they did that a little bit last. You know, I showed that the word was that possibly that had worked a little bit, according to Nylon Calculus. And now it'll be really interesting. The impact of this, I don't think the impact of this is to not tank. Like, if you're not going to make the playoffs, it's still, you might as well take the time to, you know, develop your young players, lose some games, and increase your odds. You can still tell me that the odds aren't that great, but it is still worthwhile to increase your odds. That's still generally a very smart approach to how to attack things if you're a franchise. So I don't think we're ever eliminating tanking. It makes too much sense. What I do think we might have done is change the way trades are going to be made. We might have actually chilled the entire trade market, because I think what you're going to see is teams really nervous about giving up or really protecting anything that might turn out to be a lottery pick. I mean, I think the protections are going to be really, really, really significant in the league. And I think that's worth keeping an eye on as it moves forward. All right, other things that I think where it's going to impact us. The Celtics, by the way, have three of the top 22 picks. I don't feel like that's been talked about enough. I think that's kind of a significant story there. Some of the things are interesting. The Hornets did not get lucky. They're sitting at 12. They have this huge money problem. They have Kemba as a free agent. What they do with 12 might be an eye-opener to the free agency. Like, if they suddenly trade 12 for a player and try to package some things and clear some space and do, they're really trying to show Kemba prior to July 1, we're serious about winning and building a roster around you. I think that's worth noting. Mike Conley and Memphis gets really interesting. So the first thing is everyone says they're going to take the point guard at Memphis State, or out of Murray State. R.J. Barrett is awesome. R.J. Barrett was the MVP of the Nike Hoop Summit. R.J. Barrett was the MVP of everything coming in. He got teamed with Zion. He doesn't dunk the same way Zion does. He averaged 23 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists. He's awesome. If I'm Memphis, I think I'm taking R.J. Barrett, and I'd have to watch. I haven't watched any of these guys a little bit more, but I don't think it's out of the realm that Memphis takes R.J. Barrett, couples Jaren Jackson with your veterans are Jonas Valanciunas and Mike Conley. Your youngsters are Jaren Jackson Jr. and R.J. Barrett, and you're pretty good. Memphis is not a marketplace that can afford be terrible, and they don't have next year's pick. If their pick is in, unless it's in the top six, it goes to Boston. The only way, as we saw here, to guarantee you're not in the top six is to be one or two. Their roster, I think, has too much talent on it to go into the season knowing you're going to be the number one or two worst record in the NBA. I don't see that. The Conley trade at that point becomes them trying to find, if they do take the point guard out of Murray State, then the Conley trade is getting pieces that match with the young kids, which would be you're building your point guard power forward combo between Jaren Jackson and you're trading Conley for pieces that are going to complement them. And frankly, from a Jazz standpoint, I don't have any idea what those are. So I do not believe, I hate to say this, I feel like we are jinxed on chance right now, that we have the worst mojo. I don't know what it is and what we've done as a franchise, or if we're just in a bad luck run and it's going to turn, and maybe Donovan and Rudy were our good luck run. We like to believe those are skill, but from the playoffs that ended up with Houston to last night, where three of the top four teams are the West, I would argue Memphis coming out of that the way they did increases their chances of keeping Conley. I think New Orleans coming out of that increases their chances of keeping Jrue Holiday. Here's the crazy thing. There was a three-team tiebreaker between Dallas, New Orleans, and Memphis, and they broke that tiebreaker. Had it gone another way, Dallas could have ended up with the number one pick and had Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis, and Zion Williamson. If it had gone another way, Memphis and New Orleans. So what they were doing at tiebreaker, little did you know that the tiebreaker was for the first pick, the second pick, or the ninth pick. Dallas got the ninth pick out of that deal. Had Memphis gotten the ninth pick, they actually lose their pick. And probably at that point might actually end up in somewhat of a retool. If New Orleans gets the ninth pick, I don't know what they do, but maybe end up in a retool. The issue with Conley, by the way, is if he demands a trade. And it's the same thing with Jrue Holiday. If the two of them basically announce we're not coming back, then the point guard shuffle is on. But the way yesterday played out, to me, increases the chances, doesn't guarantee it, but increases the chances that both Conley and Jrue Holiday stay where they are. All right, the point guard shuffle is going to be nuts. The point guard shuffle is going to be nuts. Let me try to break that down for you next. So we'll look at the Eastern and Western Conference, and then I've got some try to explain Favors contract situation in regards to trades. If you wanted to trade Derek, I'm not saying the Jazz do, but to the Conley and Jrue Holiday, you're trading for them, and I'm going to try to explain how hard that is before the show is over as well. Last week I had a good week, but the unquestionably the best moment of my entire week. Apologize to my wife and children. I'm sure I had something better. But one of the best moments of my entire week was I went to the store at 6200 South and 20th East. 6200 South and 20th East. And while I was at the store, they brought out hot out of the oven mudslide cookies. They're like divine. They somehow get the outside crisp so crispy and the inside being... my gosh, kind of gooey brownie. They're the best cookies ever. The Mudslide Cookie, 6200 South, 20th East. While you're there, right by the Mudslide Cookies, by the way, is also your chance to try the new Locked On Mudslide ice cream. And while you're there, to try the Locked On Loch Ness ice cream. It is so good. I just love it. It was so fun to be there. What else did I pick up? I picked up snacks for the kids. I got some of the, had a great fruit pack preset for them. I got an fresh squeezed orange juice while I was there. There are so many wonderful things about the store, the atmosphere, the kids in their Olympus sweatshirts, helping the elderly out with their bags, the nice women at the checkout saying hi to you and making you feel like you're part of a community. It is a really, really neat environment. 6200 South, 20th East, it's the store. And next door to the store, by the way, while you're there, is also the Cottonwood Ace. So stop by Cottonwood Ace for all of your summer needs that you might have for the out. And the store has the new VIP text line for you as well. So you can join that in. I get my little store updates all the time. I'm actually looking for that number for you right now, and I don't seem to see it. So I apologize. I will have to get that out for you, put it in the show notes or something for you. But I don't seem to see my little store VIP. I get my store VIP things and always check out what it is. Check it out. The store, 6200 South and 20th East. All right, so let's play point guard shuffle for a second. It is kind of nuts. All right, here are the teams that need a point guard. And the numbers get fun here. The Knicks. The Nets, kind of. Maybe, right? They're in the market. But I think they're perfectly willing to go into the year with Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert. The Celtics, right? Either Terry Rozier or Kemba Walker. Or Kyrie Irving. The Pacers certainly need a point guard. The Magic, they had DJ Augustine. They'd like to get better. The Heat, the Bulls. The Clippers have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think they're comfortable there, but they're a possibility. The Suns and the Hornets with Kemba. So there are 10 teams that are in the market for a point guard. The free agent point guards are Kyrie, Kemba, Malcolm Brogdon, D'Angelo Russell, Darren Collison, Goran Dragic, Terry Rozier, Ricky Rubio, that's 8, Corey Joseph, if you believe he's any good, Derrick Rose is floating around, depending what your viewpoint on him is, 10. Alfred Payton is floating around 11. Patrick Beverley is floating around 12. Tomas Satoransky floating around 13 as a restricted free agent. DeLon Wright, 14. So there are 10 teams. Now, how many of those are starters? Let's really look at it. Kemba's a starter. Kyrie's a starter. Brogdon's a starter. D'Angelo Russell's a starter. Darren Collison's borderline. Goran Dragic, I think, is a starter. Terry Rozier thinks he's a starter. Ricky Rubio is probably a starter. And then the rest are Elfrid Payton's right on the edge. Corey Joseph, Patrick Beverley might not be. So Tomas Satoransky, not clear. So there's 8 starters, 10 teams. And then you add, if Mike Conley and Drew Holiday get on the market, it gets a little nutty. Now all of a sudden, you have 10 spots open, 10 teams with potential point guard needs, depending what else they do in free agency, maybe not 10 teams and as many as 12 or 13 available. Like, I think this is where things get interesting. And you start playing the point guard shuffle, like, it's almost like they're Russian dolls. Like, you take off the top layer and it goes to the next layer and the next layer. So the first move is Kawhi. If Kawhi goes from Toronto to LA, the Clippers, or whomever, then Kyle Lowry is suddenly available. So now we're at 13 and another starter. Now we suddenly have 10 starters, 10 point guards. Someone's losing in this. And it's a point guard, not a team. So let's say Kawhi Leonard goes and now Lowry's available. Then the next move is Kyrie. If Kyrie goes to the Knicks, Kyrie or Kemba is going to end up being a Knick. And obviously the Hornets have to decide what they're going to do, but Kemba can decide first. So I feel like if Kemba can go to the Knicks or go to the Nets, he probably does that. He's from there. They both have better situations than Charlotte. I don't think he's going to get the Supermax. I think he goes there. I don't feel any way that he's tied to Charlotte anymore. I think he's done his duty. So let's say for a second that the Knicks go get Kyrie. Now Kemba's available, maybe Brooklyn. That means D'Angelo Russell becomes completely available. And the remaining, and the Celtics now are, in all likelihood, Terry Rozier. They're going to keep Terry Rozier and let him have that team, unless they don't like him, and he's been pretty outspoken the last 2 weeks. Unless the Celtics go try to do something else, they've just lost Kyrie, so they're now in the market. The Celtics become a destination. The Jazz are a destination, depending what they've done with Rubio, but he's a free agent. He can choose. The Nets, the Heat, the Pacers, the Magic, maybe the Clippers. I mean, if you're Kemba, maybe you go to the Clippers. So it's Kemba and Kawhi. Seems pretty appealing. In order of probably choices, Kyrie goes to the Knicks. Probably the next high spot is Brooklyn 1, Clippers 2, just LA, Miami 3, because of Miami, Jazz, Celtics 4, assuming that they don't just sit on Rozier, Jazz 5, maybe Chicago 5, depending on your viewpoint of how much the city matters, Pacers, Magic, Suns, Hornets. And what gets so now, if the other part of the Mike Conley Drew Holiday concept is if those two teams are going to try to trade either of those players with the collection of talent they have, they want something back. So what teams out there have so many pieces that they're willing to trade and have a package that would make Memphis or New Orleans trade Drew Holiday or Mike Conley at this point? When I would argue that what happened last night increases their chances of that. For Conley, you've got to get to $30 million. the Jazz ability to get to $30 million in a package for Mike Conley is more difficult now because they can't move Ricky Rubio's $15 million contract. Dante's probably untradeable. Korver is unique in whether he's tradable. Ingles is at $13 million and probably still pretty vital to the Jazz. And I'll explain the deal with Fave's contract here for you in a second. But even just if you're Memphis and you have Jonas Valanciunas and Jaren Jackson Jr. and you've grabbed either of the two second or third picks and you're looking for, at that point, you're looking for some sort of dynamic wing to go. If you're trading Conley, you've drafted a point guard. Like, we don't have that. I don't know who on any of these teams necessarily has that, unless Orlando can pull it off in some way. Or Miami can pull it off in some way with their collection of players. Or Chicago's willing to move someone you wouldn't think they're willing to move just to accelerate. But if what would the Jazz have to offer to Memphis that moves that meter? Let's play the same game with New Orleans. New Orleans is either got Zion Williamson, a package of young players, and now want to move off Drew Holiday's $25 million. What are we offering? Now, this is where maybe Favors becomes appealing if they've traded Anthony Davis because they need some other players. But you're still $9 million short. So are you Favors and Jay Crowder for Drew Holiday? Like, why would New Orleans do that? What gets nutty is if Conley and Holiday both, like, demand to be traded, and then this point guard market goes bananas. Boston goes acquires one of them. Clippers go acquire one of them. Somebody has enough young talent somewhere to create the package for them. Now, that's a possibility. I don't see us necessarily having a package that, unless Holiday or Conley, is just being such a pain and so difficult that they have no choice. Conley's marketplace, I don't think, is dramatic. And so there's a chance that Conley is simply going to demand that he gets out there. The point guard shuffle, though, gets really interesting. Right, so maybe the Nets can put together some sort of package of, but I mean, if Kyrie goes to the Knicks, Lowry is available because Kawhi's left. Kemba's out there, and Kemba signs with the Nets. Jazz are now looking for a point guard. Are they looking at Lowry? Are they looking at D'Angelo Russell? Are they looking at Ricky Rubio? Are they looking at Goran Dragic? Are they just the Celtics have decided to go with Rozier? What are the Pacers doing? Like, how these guys tear out. Malcolm Brogdon's out there. Gets really interesting. I mean, I think you can say that there's 9-ish starters that are out there. And then if Holiday and Conley are out there, that's 11. And there aren't 11 teams with packages available to get these players to make it appealing for them. And that, to me, gets pretty interesting. Today's show brought to you, we'll explain how the Favors trade works here in a second. Today's show is brought to you by Shamrock Auto Group. Rob Taylor is out in Pleasant Grove. I kind of like the Rob Taylor, and I kind of like it. I totally like the Rob Taylor story. So Rob Taylor, Shamrock Auto Group story is that Rob didn't like the car buying experience he was getting and thought he could build kind of a boutique car dealership that serviced people in a unique manner, and he's done it. And his goal was better cars. So the first thing he did was he took his found a technician of over 25 years of experience and hired him as the guy who goes out to the auctions to buy the cars. Okay, so that's pretty cool. The second goal he had was no drama, no hassle. And he keeps a lean staff, and so there's really no way to be at. Great pricing. And then his favorite is being able to go get you your own truck, your own sedan, whatever you want. If you have something specific, he'll go search, find it. And because of this, he's got people that come from out of state that use him. He's got great Google reviews up and down. It's a pretty cool thing. Most of the cars are 6 to 12 months old, 5 to 20,000 miles, Suburbans, Yukons, big SUVs. We're talking Utah County assault vehicles. Usually has about 40 Suburban, Yukons, Expeditions, minivans on lot. But as I just said, if you need to, he will go out and find you what you want. It's the Shamrock Auto Group. It's out in Pleasant Grove. Just a little hike down there to save a bunch of money. I think you would probably do that. 142 Google reviews at 4.6. Pretty impressive. The you go look at the Auto Trader reviews, and their 14cars.com reviews are all at 5 stars. Their Yelps are at 5 stars. Very well reviewed across top to bottom. You can give Rob a call. You can call Shamrock Auto at 801-361-9796. Or you can call Rob directly. Some people feel like that's intrusive and don't want to do it. 801-319-2250. Rob's number is 801-319-2250. All right. A few thoughts on the conference finals. Last night was boring. It's interesting. Everyone was this kind of bumps me out when this happens. So everyone was killing Terry Stotts, maybe rightfully so for all we know. For the fact that he was not, he was dropping the big, and Steph was, for most of the night, the Warriors' offensive rating was really not very good. It wasn't until the fourth quarter when I just think that you ended up with the kind of letting go of the rope by the exhausted Blazer team. Steph Curry, by the way, has scored 124 points in 137 minutes without Kevin Durant. They are not a better team without Kevin Durant, but Steph Curry is way more fun to watch. That is completely different. That is completely the truth. They are so much more fun to watch. I was watching the Blazers. They're going to get hammered in the series. I think they might win a game. They might not. Would you feel differently about who we were as a franchise if we were playing in the Western Conference Finals and got blasted by the Warriors the way the Blazers are about to? I mean, I left the year super impressed by Nikola Jokic and underwhelmed by Denver's playoff performance, where they had to go 7 games with the Spurs and where they lost to a Yusuf Nurkic-less Portland Trailblazers. Maybe I should be overly impressed by Portland and what they did. I've never been impressed by Oklahoma City this whole time. And so I've always thought for most of the year, I thought 2 through 12 in the Western Conference was going to be interchangeable. Then it turned out Houston was better and a bunch of teams had drama. And so by the end, it became, I think, 2 through 8 or 3 through 8 were interchangeable. Right? I'm actually not convinced if the Clippers hadn't got the Nuggets in the first round that they might not have won that series. I mean, I think they played really hard. I just don't think I just think Houston and Golden State were better than everyone else, and everybody else is in the same package. And we got badly seeded, and Denver got well seeded, and Portland got even better. And so, out of that, would you feel better about who we were if we were playing these games? It's just a worthwhile question, I think. Bucks, Raptors. Bucks held the Raptors to 3 of their 15 worst offensive performances, all of them pre-Gasol. But I'm a big believer in that, obviously, with the Jazz inability to score against the Rockets, and then we still couldn't score against the Rockets. And frankly, so keep an eye on that. I'm not sure the Raptors are going to be able to score in this series with any efficiency, and I just don't feel like Marc Gasol is having that big an impact. Other one to watch is related to the center position. Bucks Celtics, when Lopez was off the floor, the Bucks were incredible. When Lopez was on the floor, they were a little below average. Can Lopez stay on the floor in the series, and does it matter? Do they even want Lopez to stay on the floor in the series? I think that's interesting. Point guard play will be interesting. Lowry has always played well against the Bucks, and I think they're going to certainly need him to play well. And the way he plays well is he gets out in transition. One interesting thing the Bucks have done by having Lopez shooting so many threes and being on the outside. They don't offensive rebound, but he's also got very little way to get back defensively, and so they're one of the stingiest teams in the league at keeping you out of transition, and Toronto needs to run. So keep an eye on that. Those are the things. And then when Kawhi guarded Giannis this year, it was 33 possessions, and Giannis only took 3 shots. All right, here's the deal with Faves' contract. I hear a lot of people talking about trading Faves. It is doable, but let me make sure you understand how it works. So Favors is under contract and is currently a non-guaranteed contract. The rule is that a non-guaranteed contract does not count against salary cap money. So rule change happened a few years ago. So if the Jazz were to trade Derek Favors today with no changes, that deal, his money would be have no impact. It would be a zero thing. So you couldn't trade like Derek Favors and a pick from and Jay Crowder from Mike Conley because Favors' contract counts as zero. If you want to trade Favors, the first thing is July, it's this year's cap versus next year's cap. So you probably have to do it after July 1st. Even if you're using the draft pick, which I'm not sure what value the draft pick has. The second thing is you have to amend Derek's contract and make it guaranteed to be able to trade him. Favors date, I believe, is July 6th. Or July. I was told July 6th. I have it down as July 5th, one of the two. If it is prior to July 6th that you're making this trade, Favors has to agree to amend his contract. I'm not sure why he wouldn't. He's non-guaranteed, and he'd be being given $17.5 million. So he'd have to agree. But he would still have to agree. Favors has to either be, contract has to be either amended prior to July 6th to be guaranteed, or has to be picked up July 6th to be traded. But he's not a free agent. And it's not a team option. It's a non-guaranteed contract. And that changes the game a tiny bit, if that makes sense. So generally, I would say he's probably pretty tradable post-July 1. And he's certainly tradable post-July 6th when you've picked up his deal and he's got money on the books and then you can move him. Okay? So that's where we sit on the Favors end of things. Joe Ingles, will we ever get to you? We'll find out. Probably tomorrow. Hope you're having a great one. This has been Locked On Jazz. Go check out Locked On Pelicans, Locked On Knicks, Locked On NBA, Locked On Grizzlies. Find out all the impact on the lottery stuff. A lot of fun things to listen to on the Locked On Podcast Network.